Just give the average Joe an insight of what's it like playing at this level.
Friday night's always been a personal favourite of mine. You've got the long weekend. Everyone's just wanting that release, that stimulation, just to watch a macabre sport of gladiatorial confrontation. And you feed off that as athletes. Like, you love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Well, I'll be damned. The Super Round was actually pretty decent. It was. It was good fun. It is dropped kickoff once again. Here I am, Nick Wasiliev, I guess you could say I don't want to call myself the host because, I mean, like, we always kind of change over who's host. But I'm joined today, or tonight rather, we're recording Thursday night, but with not the one and only other Nick, the other OG co-founder of this podcast. Can't remember the last time it was just you and me on a show.
A while ago. Last possible moment to record a pod this week. So, hopefully we're not too out of date.
I guarantee you, we could like record it, you know, 20 minutes before the first game of the round, and we'll somehow still be more out of date than everyone else. It's the nature of the beast. But for everyone who cannot see what I'm looking at, Mr. Hartman has changed his image. It's a picture of Jar Jar with the head of Jar Jar on top of like this jacked individual, and I want to know who the jacked individual is, and just why.
No idea. Kind of looks like Nathan when he takes his shirt off.
Yeah, everyone knows how jacked Nathan is. He's mind, and in terms of mind and body, he's everyone knows that he is just a jacked individual. That is how he rolls. But, yeah, look, I appreciate it. It's a sign of respect. We show
penis
respect.
Too. It's got
huge dick. Enormous dick. Can you tell what it's like when Nathan's not on the pod and reining us in, making us being responsible? But
Nathan because loves Nathan's it when not, I describe his body, though.
He's all over it. He doesn't immediately just kind of go, oh, for fuck's sake, what am I doing here? But we'll talk. We will, instead of because Nathan isn't here, we're going to talk about. We won't do the news roundup. We'll kind of just provide a quick summary of. Can't do it. He's not here. We haven't got the pun game that he's got. It's true. He unveils and demolishes and makes things beautiful with words. He has the best words. So we're going to talk about, in short, give our thoughts on Super Round and what we watched. We're going to talk about the situation unfolding today. There's been a whole bunch of news out of Rugby Australia with it being revealed that Eddie Jones went over budget by $2.6 million last year at the World Cup. So expensive. For us to watch on the field, and expensive for Rugby Australia off it. So fuck yeah. Then we'll also talk about the reviews that came out of the review of Into the World Cup at the same time, which also got released today. And then we're going to finish off with our two cents on this upcoming round 3, the Super Rugby Pacific. So a bit more of a loose, easygoing style to tonight's podcast because it's been a long week. Nick's dealt with some shit. I've dealt with some shit. Nathan has been jet-setting around. He was at the Super W. He was at the Super W launch today, so he was crashing hard. So we're going to go easy-breezy today. Easy-breezy with our podcast. And first up, I reckon this is a pretty decent Super Round, Nick. What do you think?
No, it was really good. It was kind of, if you had to pick the six best games, you could almost do no better. It was really good. I missed the Rebels and the Force game. You know, you think I didn't see that. I'm not sure if just on paper, oh, it's just going to be, you know, one of those awful Australian rugby nights. But, you know, score-wise, comeback-wise, it seemed like it was quite exciting. Second one, what was that? Oh, Highlanders Blues. I saw the start of that. I'm not looking forward to the Highlanders there. Their halves combo looks hot. Tars Crusaders, what a bloody matchup. I think, you know, DC's got a 66% win record against Crusaders or something, I think, like that.
Somehow, yeah, he does, yeah, because he's got the win at Leichhardt as well.
Yeah, yeah. So that would be really good because they actually looked it up. They're coming the Crusaders are coming back to play at Sydney in about 6 weeks' time, so I'm really looking forward to that one. Yeah, Brumbies, I don't know, like, shat the bed. That was awful. I've never seen them play that bad in
they were ages. So bad.
Like, I've seen them be well beaten, you know, in a semi-final or something, but, yeah, that was, I don't know what the hell that was. Another game, Moana and Fiji, and that was crazy. I think Michael Checker should go coach Fiji and draw that. They tapped when they were halfway through. Did they get a scrum or a penalty? And they did a tap instead of kicking.
Yeah, just back. Classic tap and go. Yeah,
that was wild. That was wild. And Reds, I don't know, but they look good. I mean, if you look that good two games in, to new coach's career, like, oh, what are they going to look like when they've, you know, when those cogs are turning, those loins are oiled, you know, they're going to look great. And it's really great to see him back. Really cruel way to lose a game.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was just thinking back, I was just going to myself, like, I know that we're trying new rules out and stuff and everything like that. Do you reckon the Golden Point just fuck it right out of here? Because it kind of felt right for them to finish with a draw. Maybe it's just my old school mentality, and, you know, maybe it makes it a lot more interesting to have a first try wins Golden Point thing. I mean, it definitely made it compelling, but, I mean, it means that a team has to lose. If the contest is that even Stevens, maybe a draw is probably worth it.
Well, I know, like, in ice hockey, if you go into overtime, if you lose that, you get a point where you'd normally not get a point. And I think the other team gets 2 points, which I think is usually what you get for a win. So I don't know if that is the case in Super Rugby. I mean, I guess I'll get a bonus point for losing by three. I guess you are guaranteed a bonus point, but that also still kind of sucks.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird that, you know, you've had 80 minutes to outscore the other team and the solution to that is more time to play. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, I think you could think of a better solution around that, right, surely. But, yeah, it kind of sucks when it's Golden Point and it's all just, you know, who gets kickoff, you know, or who receives kickoff has a huge advantage, for example. Yeah. So, and it's all just a toss of a coin. So, not the way I'd want to end something.
But, especially if you lose. I mean, if the Reds had won the game, we probably would be having a different conversation. We'd probably be like, it's great.
Yeah, and it'll go down as a loss, but it's in any other kind of feeling, it's not. Anyway, we've spent more time talking about the Reds than we've talked about the Tars, so I'm feeling a bit uneasy. Tars, just fucking great game. Just awesome rugby, awesome hat. What's his name? Harry on the Raw.
Oh, Harry Jones.
And also, yeah, you wouldn't podcast. Disgusting.
We haven't talked about me being a traitor.
Dirty. Why are you even? Don't even fucking boast about it. It's disgusting.
I'm just owning it because what else can I do? I mean, you caught me red-handed.
Don't mention it.
You started it. You mentioned it.
And, yeah, I can mention it. You can't. Harry over there wrote about, you know, Tane, Edmed, Jed, and Ned. Ned Hannigan had a bloody belter of a game. I see the team list is coming on to starting. I think he's going to play Blindside. But he has a belter of a game. It's great to see him come back. Like, he was never an awful player. He was just thrown in the mix way too early. But fantastic. Yeah, just, you know, forward pack. Well, I mean, you know, the loose forwards and locks had an amazing game. Sinclair, Jed, you know, just awesome to watch. It was just generally one of those best kind of hold it together performances, you know, that heart that you used to see talking about old school with the draw and all that, but old school hearty performance from a team that's, I saw someone on Twitter go, oh yeah, the Crusaders are missing, you know, couple of players.
Oh, I hated that. Yeah, and then,
it's like, have you seen the Waratahs? It's like,
but it's also like, stop undermining the performance. Like, me. Just accept that they played good.
Would it still be, you know, you'd still say, oh, the Crusaders won despite missing.
That's people. Right.
So it's kind of pointless. And the Waratahs got a huge injury list. I mean, I didn't know that Swinton was out indefinitely. Like, yeah, he's in the same bucket as Lalakai Fekete.
Yeah, I didn't realize how bad he was, which is just a big surprise. But look, yeah, I fucking hate that mentality. There were so many people undermined that were kind of so like playing down Australian rugby over the weekend. And I'll give you another example. There was – so during the Rebels Force game, which I know you missed, but I had a great time with this match. Everyone was kind of after the Highlanders Blues match, which was pretty decent. It was a pretty good game. Everyone was like, here comes the reality check. Here comes the game between the two expansion sides. It's the game that nobody writes home about. It's the clear markdown. Go back and watch it. There were some of the best tries of the weekend in this game. It was fantastic, and both sides kind of really came out being like, well, we've got a point to prove because we both served up shit in round one. And they played a great game of rugby. And then there was this bloke who I think he must have been a Reds fan. Don't remember him on Twitter. But you know that really healthy thing that we do, which is get into Twitter tiffs. And he was like, yeah, this game sucks. Nobody cares about this team. It's a bunch of imports on the Force side, and it's a team that can't keep the lights on the other side. This game's terrible. Turns out he wasn't even watching it.
At least he's being consistent, I guess. Honestly, it is a bit like that, and it is a bit like that reality check. But I think,
appreciate a good game of rugby in front of you.
I think Australians just don't look, if we're not perfect or excellent, we don't really care. I mean, look at the cricket team. They've won everything and there's still tons of complaints just following them. So it's an Australian attitude and kind of sucks, but
tall poppy syndrome?
No, not exactly. No, not that. Just we expect excellence and that really damages rugby.
Yeah, in the case of us, it's small poppy syndrome. It's just like you can't fucking
–
everyone's automatically assuming the worst. And in this particular instance, it wasn't. Well, the game was great.
Not excellent. It's not excellent. That's why. I think it does kind of go back to like Super Rugby AU was good fun because it was just competitive. I thought that's the key thing. And like the All Blacks, they're killers. They're amazing. But don't rehash, the Western Sydney – Chiefs kind of conversation, everything you said there, but it is, and I do feel that way too. Like it can sometimes feel like it's a set down, but look, it is fun. It's great, but I'm looking forward. I really wish the Waratahs and Reds were playing this weekend. Can you imagine the hype? I hate how they do. Oh, it's the start of the season. We've got to play the big rivals at the start. No, that sucks.
Like, it makes sense because you're trying to draw people in and get people hyped for the season. I mean, that's just how it works.
But I think it's better to have the hype leading into it. Like the Premier League, for example. And okay, like they don't have to worry about drawing people in, but they'll never have, Man United and Man City play in the first round. But anyway, I thought that'd just be awesome. It is like alternative history, but anyway.
Yeah. Last question though, before we move on, which is, it's probably a two-part question. One, do you think this round more than anything else just locks away for good that Super Round is actually a pretty decent idea? And two, is this the last time we're going to see it in Melbourne?
I think the concept, I don't think anyone's knocked the concept apart from no one really wants to see Kiwi teams thumping Australian teams all weekend, which didn't happen, thank God.
Yeah.
I guess if it averaged out, you'd probably say that. It's just a shame. And actually, I hated all the, what if it was here? What if it was, in Townsville? It should be in Fiji. Well, that's not the case. It's Victorian government just chucking money at these guys to run, and they've just gone, okay, we've got the cash, like we're done. Like that, it's sad that it doesn't get huge crowds, but it seemed like a kind of great vibe, actually.
It looked fun, and every person who went there said that they had a good time. It was just that they're just some reason the crowds for a lot of it didn't come.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, but it was just kind of cool just to. Like you felt that festival atmosphere watching it at home because you could just see they're playing on the same ground, the same people were there, watching both games. Yeah, it was great. But just shame that it kind of is run so averagely.
Yeah, look,
speaking of running things averagely, the 2.6 million bill, let's get into that.
Gambridge.
This has came out today from Phil Waugh, who kind of fronted the media when he was unveiling the recommendations and reviews from the Wallabies 2023 World Cup campaign, which of course we'll get into in a bit. But the big talking point was he unveiled how much Eddie Jones went over budget by, and it was $2.6 million apparently. So apparently there was things like flights back from Arnhem Land. There were extra hotels in, you know, in during the Bledisloe. There was, you know, things like, I believe there was a whole bunch of stuff like team costs, travel for extra staff, and then a thing around player benefits, which I'm very curious as to what that was. But fuck, it doesn't look good on who was in charge beforehand, was it? I mean, they really did just take a big, massive swing with Eddie, and it's backfired as bad as it possibly could have been. I mean, not only was it a complete disaster on the field, but we lost a whole bunch of cash that we didn't really have.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say about this. It smells of just massive grift, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How could you, you know, run an organization where you have that much budget over, and like, who's saying no to him? It was
saying no to him. That's clearly what it was. It was clearly Hamish and all that bit saying, Eddie, we've got Eddie back. Eddie's back. He can do whatever he wants. And he did do whatever he wants, which, because like, I mean, he was on a $5 million contract. He did the equivalent of spending half of what he totally costs in 1 year. And they were out, and they weren't even in at the World Cup for like half of it.
Yeah, so, we're young whippersnappers. We're not high-end management or anything like that. So, you know, people listening to this could probably have way more insight and what to say. But, yeah, it's it's an insane amount of money. And I think, you know, what just probably really, really hurts is that they had to make a couple people redundant a couple weeks ago. It's just, it's fucked. What's his name? Fell on his sword before this came out. Will people be rinsed for this? I think the rugby / media world is too small for people to be properly rinsed. I mean, if this was a NRL scandal, you know, be a lot more rinsing going on, just because there's not that little, like, I kind of feel in rugby there's that little, it can be a bit close and everyone knows everyone a bit too much, you know what I mean? I wonder what percentage of the overall budget it is. But fuck, yeah, fucking awful.
Yeah.
If only rugby wasn't the game of the what's it called? The bourgeoisie. There might be riots in the street.
I tell you what, though, it does. I mean, it hasn't exactly covered Rugby Australia in a lot of glory that they allowed to get that cooked. And then when you throw in the earlier news this week that the Rebels might be taking them to court, which, if successful, would also open the floodgates for all the other Super Rugby franchises to sue as well. I mean, it's just lots of big numbers adding up. It just feels like, and you wonder, and as a follower, you're like, how untenable is this situation right now? Because I'm just seeing lots, millions and millions and millions of dollars that was either rashly spent or is now being totaled up. And you wonder, what the fuck are these people doing in charge?
Well, I mean, if you look at any kind of large organization like that, you know, lots of you know, money being thrown about, leverage, loaned, all that, you know, invisible kind of money. I think the Rebels thing, you know, it's kind of come to a point. To my understanding, they're just kind of disputing who owns what and who's responsible for what. And yeah, you're right, like, it might determine the relationships that the Rugby Australia has with the rest of the franchises. And yeah, I think I'm not obviously no legal expert, but interesting to see what would happen. Although you'd imagine it's in everyone's best interest for RA not to collapse. But it's fucking crazy, isn't it? But yeah, I think the way it stands, it's the directors of the Melbourne Rebels would be footing the bill. So you can see why they're trying to launch a legal challenge.
Yeah, it's true. And God, it's just a mess. It is just a mess. And it'll be it just could get very ugly very, very quickly. But, you know, what is kind of notable going back to this whole situation with Eddie is that kind of Phil Waugh has been like, look, we're going to try and make this be a line in the sand moment. The whole point of this review and the whole point of kind of being transparent about the value. And I think that 2.6 million number, you could probably dig into it a little bit more and wonder, well, what exactly made it get up to that number? But, you know, I think that's a question for another time. But on that, they also released earlier today their 23 recommendations from the external review conducted into the Wallabies 2023 season. I've had a look at it. It's a lot of stuff. And the first thought that came to my head was, God, they've given the new director of high performance, Peter Horn, a whole bunch of crap to do. Jesus Christ. Because basically it's effectively, it's been, they've divided the whole thing into five categories, which is essentially high performance. You've got to develop a high performance strategy and create a whole advisory group and then a systematic review cycle for national teams. So basically, like standardized methodology around it and then set metrics. Like effectively it sounds like kind of a KPI situation for high performance, which just makes me go, Jesus Christ, it takes them until now to realize they need this sort of shit. And you'd think that there wasn't even a director of high performance last year. And it just goes, how the hell has it got to this sort of level? I do find it interesting that they kind of also talked about like they need to basically redo the entire leadership process and establish, you know, clearly defined roles, which basically says that it sounds like there was a lot of grey area last year. And even things like trying to improve relations between, you know, the RA board and national players, because it sounds to me like actual trust in the actual board members and the players has hit rock bottom as a result. And then trying to create environments and stuff like that, try to do governance reviews and then create national coaching programs and stuff. I mean, it feels like shit that we've kind of been talking to a blue in the mouth for a couple of years, you know, in terms of stuff that has worked and things that are needed. And we're not the only people to have talked about it, but I mean, how do we even feel about this? It's also very buzzwordy, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, that's most, you know, organizations. It's only kind of dot points I think they've released, so they haven't released a whole part. Now, again, look, I'm no business leader, but I do really feel there is a ethical impetus on Rugby Australia to be more transparent about what's going on. Because people whose fees that they pay for their kids, that they pay for themselves to play rugby, ultimately ends up at Rugby Australia. And I think really that they have to be way more transparent on what's happening, what they're doing. Now, all we've seen are dot points. I'm not sure if that's been leaked or that was the actual document provided.
But no, it was provided. It was like a summary.
Okay, so obviously they're pinning a lot of stuff on Peter Horn. That's very Australian rugby. Here's this new shiny thing that's going to come help us. Someone said it sounds like fucking, what's Goog? Justin Harrison said his name? It's like rambling. I agree on that one. I think this, like, we don't own rugby. It's a cabal of old boys owns rugby. And they are so unattached and live in unreality of what rugby is, what it means to people and its place in Australia. And I really feel like you mentioned KPIs. It's taken super unseriously. It's taken without humility. It's run by the people well, the kind of people that seem to hang around, the kind of people that Joe Aston would tear to shreds in the AFR back when he ran Rear Window, or his column. It's just, it's a joke. Look, Phil Wall seems to be fairly sensible and seems to have humility about him. But, yeah, it's just, yeah, like, it doesn't provide much confidence because I feel, yeah, again, like I was saying before, I feel there's an impetus to be way more transparent. There was nothing in those dot points about who's in that organization and spreading it out. Like, most people are kind of wary of, or a lot of people, sorry, I should say, are wary of kind of the diversity buzzwords. But I really think there is a strong case for diversity in Rugby Australia. Like, and I really feel it should be enshrined. You know, no, out of the board members, I don't know, let's say there's 10 board members, they need someone, you know, and I know it's state by state, but it needs to be broken down by, you went to a public school, that kind of gear, because it's just like a rich rapper, a rich footballer, and their entourage telling them that they're the best thing in the world.
I mean, I don't know how you can actually do it like that, but my question is more around if they actually, you know, achieve all of these goals, every single dot point. I don't know. We don't know what sort of timeline they have around trying to look at these deliverables and look at these review points and say, well, what can we try to achieve in the next 12 months? And, like, if they were actually able to achieve all of this, you know, let's say by the time the Lions arrive next year or by, say, you know, the 2027 World Cup, do we actually think, even if it is successful, that this will automatically translate to a better functioning game and a more successful Wallabies side? Because it just seems like the actual issues with the culture and the environment has kind of seeped into the bones, and it seems like a complete and utter clean out in more ways than one is needed more than anything else. I mean, if they were to actually succeed and get all of this, do you reckon it would actually work? Would it do anything?
Yeah, well, look, the whole thing about strategy is to go, this is what we're going to try to do and this is why we do it. Just please come with us along the ride. You know, sometimes strategies won't be, you've got to assume that people put their most into the strategy and engage with it seriously and, you know, put it together with logic. It's fine as long as it's a strategy and they fall on their sword. I mean, we saw Hamish McLennan go out kicking and screaming. But, you know, this is what I kind of mean. Like, we need to have that humility to keep it renewed, keep it refreshed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fit, which, again, ethical impetus, because it's not theirs. Rugby in Australia is not theirs. I remember Hugh on the Old Gagger podcast said this ages ago. It's like, if Rugby Australia disappeared, you know, like I did say before, people don't want Rugby Australia to fall over. But if it disappeared, you know, not many people would think about it. For too long, you just set up a new one.
Considering all the money situations and stuff going on, it does, you know, it does make you wonder what the actual setup of the whole game in general is going to look like in a bit of time. But anyway, look, we'll include a link to it. We'll include a link to this list of pointers. Have a look at it yourself. Give us your opinions and your thoughts and feelings and emotions on it. I know we sound a little bit pessimistic about it, but I mean, considering how much of a depressing year 2023 was, I think we've got good reason to be, frankly, because it's turning around such issues that were exposed is going to take a hell of a long time, and I hope that they actually are kind of like, no, we actually need to do this for the general good of the game and build this up. Hope that's the case, but
yeah, but nothing, let's try and finish on a positive.
I mean, it's right, nothing did really jump out, but let's hope that they actually, you know, are able to successfully enact a whole bunch of this, and it's just not a whole bunch of other dot points that are just left to gather dust on the long journey of continual structural issues within Australian rugby. Let's hope they actually deliver on this stuff. It would be nice. But on that, let's finish on a more positive note. And let's go back to Super Rugby, because we actually do have quite an exciting round coming up. When you're listening to this, it'll be tonight is when it will be dropping these games. And we have a good situation of on tonight, on the Friday night, we've got Moana Pacifica playing the Rebels out in Hamilton, in Nick Hartman's favourite place. We then followed by the Waratahs and the Highlanders. And then in Sydney, and then on Saturday, I'll tell you what, mate, this is a dream for rugby fans, which is that you've got four games back to back starting at 12 o'clock.
That's crazy.
Like you get up, like you can get up at like, I don't know, like 9 or 10, like have a lazy lay in, grab a coffee, grab a croissant, you know, do what you got to do, and then at 12 o'clock. Sit down, grab a beer, and then you basically have rugby pretty much the entire way through the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Fantastic, which is the Drua playing the Crusaders in Lautoka, Churchill Park. The Brumbies hosting the Western Force in Canberra. Hurricanes playing the Blues at the Cape Tin, and then finishing off the Reds taking on the Chiefs in Suns Corp at the Cauldron. So, I don't know, let's finish off by just saying, which game are you most keen for?
All those games sound, really enticing, probably except for the Brumbies and Force game.
I knew you were going to
look, it's just, I don't know, the Force have looked a bit out of sorts, and the Brumbies will be really eager to prove a point, so I think they'll get smashed. But all those games are great, like honestly, all of them. But yeah, like Reds Chiefs will be great. Hopefully, the Reds pick up after last weekend, because I think they'll need to play in the Chiefs, who seem the best team so far.
Yeah, they've lost three big players, which is a bit of an issue. Which is they lost Alex Hodgman, the new prop who's been playing really well, and they've lost Hunter Paisami, and they've lost Jordy Pataia. Which is a bit of an issue. I think the Chiefs are going to win that one just because...
Wait. Losing Jordy Pataia is a bit of an issue?
Yes.
Bro, there's this great gif, I say gif, of a dude holding like a fairly big-sized fish with these two arms.
Oh, yep.
And it's slipping out and him failing to hold it as it slips out of his hands. Man, that Jordan Pataia, every time, he just disappoints.
But, okay, let's refocus then. What do you think is the match of the round, and what match are you personally looking to, and why is it Tars Highlanders?
good answer. Yeah, look, I'd be tempted to say Tars Highlanders, but just because the Tars are at home. Want to see, was it luck or was it the level of the team against the Crusaders? Chiefs Reds be a crack up. Reds Chiefs, sorry.
Yeah, personally, like, I'm just really excited by the prospect that we could have, you know, three or four Australian teams winning this week. I think there's at least three matches where, I mean, obviously, of course, Brumbies and Force, you'll have an Australian winner. But I'm really interested in the Moana Pacifica Rebels game and that Tars Highlanders game as well, just because I think, even though I think Moana Pacifica is a lot better, and I think, you know, the Tanu Umanga that time of him being an assistant coach at the Blues seems to have done him the world of good, because he seems like a much more composed head just leading that squad around. And they look really well drilled. If the Rebels, I think Rebels on paper have a lot more firepower and should win that one. But I mean, it depends if they either start properly or they start like they have the last two games and just take 50 minutes to actually get the car into second gear and get going. So I reckon those are the games I'm interested to watch. But the game I actually think is going to be match the round, probably Canes Blues. That's a good game. Both sides haven't dropped a match. I think, I mean, obviously the Canes are missing, will be missing Jordy Barrett, who's out for 3 weeks because of his hit on Pattaya.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's still a lot of good players in that squad. I mean, that Amua, the hooker, is a gun. He's just a machine. He just commits murder on a rugby field, that man does. But then on the other hand, you've got the Blues, who are welcoming back Rico Ioane and Finlay Christie, two All Blacks. So
yeah.
I reckon that caked in clash is going to be cooking.
Yeah, look. Will it sell out? Who knows?
Doesn't matter if it sells out. I mean, we can't control that.
I don't want to be a downer or anything, but just those Kiwi games. Like, all their you sides. No, I'm just saying all their sides are so perfect. It can, for me, it turns into a bit of a blur. You know, it's not like you watch an Australian team, which you can see its faults. You know, there's a bit of character, a bit of grit to when they play a game, and you watch Tiwi and they're just always so fucking good. I don't know, it's just sometimes you just like, you watch it like, yeah, it's going to be good, but I'd rather watch the featherweights fight instead of the heavyweights. You know,
you'd watch the lower draw than
think about Djokovic, you know, amazing player, but just so perfect. It's just kind of, oh, yeah, all right, there he goes.
That's why it makes it more satisfying when he got knocked out early.
Yeah, well, yeah, many reasons, but yeah. Anyway, these are just my thoughts. But yeah, I know, that's why I say Reds Chiefs, clashing styles. We really want to see how they go. Yeah, you know how I feel about the Chiefs anyway, so.
Yeah, moving to West, hashtag Western Sydney
did
Chefs.
Did the Reds beat the Chiefs last year?
They did. They did. No, they beat them at New Plymouth, and then they lost. And then they lost in the quarterfinals. When they went back to Waikato to the Tron. So, but look, I mean, even though historically, like, actually, Brad Thorne had a pretty decent record against the Chiefs. I think he won like half of his games against them, I'm pretty sure. When he struggled to beat every single other Kiwi side. But, I mean, like, I reckon Chiefs are favourites to win the comp, so I personally am like, I think it might be a bridge too far. Even though, ironically, I think that the Reds look better right now under Kiss than they do under Thorne. Maybe it's just the fact that...
What do you mean? They look so much better. Kiss is an actual
They do. Coach. I know, he's a good coach. He's a great coach. I don't know what it is. I think it's because...
It's that je ne sais quoi. Like, sometimes people are just better, you know.
I think, you know, you're like Marky Mark,
and you go, how are you just such a better winger than, I don't know, just anyone else? Like Corey O'Toole, for example. No, but, you know, Marky Mark is just a complete package. Why? It's just how it is. You know, Les Kiss just...
He's a more experienced coach.
It can be more than that, you know. Can just be better at talking to players. Could be more varied attacking styles. Can be a better communicator. Could be so many things, you know.
Look, either way, he seems like the perfect fit for the Reds right now. And hey, even if they don't get the W, I don't expect this to be like a repeat of the Chiefs. Just, you know, taking the Brumbies to the glue factory last week.
Yeah, I don't expect it.
I don't think it's going to be a repeat of that. I reckon this is going to be a much closer contest. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward. Super's looking great this year. Hopefully, like, so far, let's hope it keeps up.
Touch wood. But yeah, he's a short and sweet one, and he's done. And thank you so much, guys. Cheers for the love and support. Please drop us a review. Please drop us a 5-star review, or alternatively, just shoot us a comment. Say hi. We're on Twitter. We mess around. And we'll definitely have Nathan Williamson back to correct us of all of our statistical inaccuracies next week. You know, it's the OG squad. We've been here since 2018, still going strong.
We've got another week to get back on the horse and take that horse to the water. And you can ask that horse, you can say, hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink or do you want to swim? Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
Give myself an uppercut.